How to get the right systems to run your plumbing or electrical business. Hugely beneficial topic, massive topic as well, and one that's going to be super helpful for you guys to get the best out of running your business, to go from chaos to control. And systems are a huge part of getting control of your business and making it a fun thing to own, fun place to work, and putting it in its right box so that it just doesn't take over your life. So as I said, today's topic is how to get the right systems to run your plumbing and electrical business. Now what we're going to cover today. So look, what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about how to systemize your business, how to get the right systems into your plumbing or your electrical business. So just turn the webcam on again. So that's what we're going to focus on. Now systems stands for saving you stress, time, effort and money. And if it's not written down, you know, it's not a system. And so it's about getting stuff out of your head onto paper. And then using technology as well to streamline things and automate them and try and make them as paperless as possible. We'll also look at, you know, what to do off-site, so in the office, because that's a massive area of time suck and you know, really need good systems there. And also on-site, so you can make sure that the jobs are done well. There's not too many reworks or cock-ups on-site. I'm going to give you some examples and templates that you can use, and at the end we're going to look at some hacks or hacks to get stuff done. So when I talk about hacks, that means sort of quick ways to get stuff done, because time is, you know, is always part of the equation. How do I make the time to actually systemize my business? It seems like a massive, overwhelming task, so how can I get it done more quickly and actually get the results from getting the right systems into my business? And systems are all about what we call leverage. So leverage is if you've got a really tight nut or a bolt, you get a long spanner so you can get more leverage, more torque onto that bolt. Well, leverage for your business is the same thing. And we can leverage ourselves, which is getting more done with less time, by hiring more people is one way, by increasing our margins, by doing some good marketing. But by systemizing our business is an excellent way actually get more leverage, getting stuff out of you, get it on paper so other people can follow it, and so you don't have to be across everything. So leverage is a key part of actually pushing ourselves up that million-dollar trading ladder. And if you want to get up to the, you know, the stability, success, and scale level, or right up to significance, you need to have systems in your business, because otherwise it's going to be relying on you, and you're just not going to be able to get away and create that time freedom. And if you look at the million-dollar tradie system, there's those six areas we focus on, and obviously number two is about systems, but systems are a bit of a weird thing. They sort of cross over all the areas, really, because we need the right financial systems, we need a hiring system, we need a sales process, and we need systems for marketing. So today's topic really covers across all those areas, and it's just going to give you some tools and resources to help systemize those different areas of the business. So guys, what I'd like to do is just to hear from you. Why are systems important for you now in your business? Why is it important for you now to actually get the right systems into your business? If you just want to put your comments in the chat box, then we can share those around. So why is getting your systems right important for you right now in your business? Okay, so Leanne said all staff know exactly the process to follow and gives them a benchmark. Awesome. Debbie, streamline things in the office. Annie, spend too much time double handling things. Huge. Plus, with both of us here, there's a danger that we do the same things and double up on work. Brilliant. Jenny, then the boss is not doing everything. We don't miss anything. Cool. Kirsty, free up time. Ensuring staff following correct procedures. Being able to employ people further down the track. Cool. Luke and Ellie, sort out chaos. Yes, massive. Trish, getting more staff, so need to streamline the workflow to minimize double handling. Cool. Gray, so we know what we're doing. So we know where we're going, and know how we're going to get there all of the time. Brilliant. So get some certainty and stability around business. Cool guys, that's awesome. Okay. Caden. Massive, mate. So I don't have to be involved with everything all of the time. That's perfect. So I don't have to be involved with everything all of the time. Staff just know what to do and when and how. That's excellent. Perfect. That pretty much sums it up. Getting it out of your head so other people can follow it and it's not relying on you. Okay, awesome, guys. That's great feedback. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. All right, so just going to close the webcam there. So what's the problem? If you don't get the systems right, how can this affect the business? Well, do you find that the business is actually stuck in your head? So you're holding everything in your head, from what jobs are happening, what materials you need, to what invoices are being done, to what debtors haven't paid, and it all goes around in your head, which even when you're not at work, you find it's just a concrete mixer of stuff churning around your head. It makes it very difficult to unplug. It makes it very difficult for anyone else to follow what you're doing, and it means that pretty much your business becomes a big bottleneck around your head. So that's one thing that can happen. Or maybe you find that there's a lot of mistakes happening, maybe on-site or even in the office. So you're constantly fixing mistakes. Because everything's stuck in your head and there's no systems or processes for your team to follow, which makes it really difficult to make sure things are done the right way each time. Maybe you're working lots of nights and weekends. So because the business does revolve around you, you find that you have to be across everything because it's stuck in your head. And therefore, you're doing invoicing or pricing in the evening, or chasing up jobs, etc., in the weekends when you'd rather be just chilling out and having a life. Don't want to be asleep on the park bench. Or maybe you've got some team troubles. So you guys are struggling to come up to scratch. There's lots of mistakes. And one thing I find is, hey, if you're having team troubles, first place to look is, do they have the right systems? Do they understand what they need to do? Is it clear? If it's not clear, we need to look at that first, rather than just blaming the team. Because sometimes it may not be that they're a muppet. It may be that the system we've got for them is not very good. In fact, that's causing them to perform like a muppet. So that's what can happen if you don't get it right. If you do get it right, how can it actually change your business? Well, it's definitely going to save you a massive amount of time, because you can get other people to do stuff the way you want it done, and it's going to increase your productivity. It's a way you can multiply yourself. That's how systems work. They're about leverage or multiplying. You can create predictable and consistent results, so turn things more into like a production line, because there's a process that people follow. And if you think about the All Blacks, a great example of the right systems, they don't focus on the result. They focus on what they can control, which is the process, the training, the practice, the strategies, their nutrition. They focus on all those processes and let the results take care of themselves. Same for us. We want to focus on getting the systems right, and therefore the results are going to take care of themselves. And really importantly, with the right systems in place, you can create a business, like a real business that has equity value. What do we mean by that? Well, it's something that someone would be prepared to pay money for, because it's something that they could pick up and run without you having to be there. It's just not stuck in your head. So a business is just a collection of systems. You've got a pricing system, a hiring system, health and safety system, an invoicing system. So we want it to be able to operate without your daily input. And if it can do that, it becomes a very valuable commodity, one that you can potentially sell. Now, if you do get this stuff right, I mean, you can get some fantastic results. I like Mark and Bevan from Advanced Plumbing in the Hawke's Bay. Some of you know Mark's story. But when they joined the program, look, they had good deal flow, good amount of sales, but just complete chaos, in the sense that they had very few systems, pricing systems, no office systems, no job management systems, no back costing, and so the business was out of control. It racked up a large amount of debts. By actually systemizing the business with its pricing, getting the right office team in place and the right job management systems, the right quality assurance checklists, pre-job checklists, absolutely transformed the business. Margins have gone up by 20%, repaid all their outstanding debt, hired 6 new team members, sales have gone through the roof. Mark's actually bought a new farm as well, completely smashed it by putting the right systems into your business. So it's very powerful, makes all the difference, takes some work, yes, but you can work hard once, or you can work hard forever. If you work hard once, put the systems in place, then you can get those results that turn the business into something you deserve it to be. Okay, guys, so what I'm going to do now, just going to talk about some key principles about, actually, if you have any questions, guys, too, just shout out as we go through. So you guys who are new to the webinars as well, just if you've got any questions, just shout out, put them in the chat box, and I can answer them as we go through. But what I'd like to do first off is talk about some of the principles of systemizing your business, and then we can jump in and talk about actually the nuts and bolts of how you go about putting the right systems in place. So the first principle is understanding the definition of a business. So what I'd like you to do, guys, is please put in the chat box what you think the definition of a business is. Just turn the camera on. So what do you think the definition of a business is? Just pop it in the chat box and we can share that around to see what people think actually a business really is. So what's your definition of a business? It's not a trick question. Okay. To provide a service or product to the consumers to make a profit. Kirsty, interesting. Annie, an asset you own to make money. Taking me now to understand that. Same as the one on the slide. Luke and Ellie, a money-making machine. Oh, Trish, very nice answer. An almost self-sustaining entity so that people can change, but the business keeps running. That's a pretty good definition. Anyone else got a definition of a business? What they see the definition of a business? Because it's really, really critical to our understanding of interacting with our plumbing or electrical business. Alrighty, okay. Great, to provide a service and employment. Interesting, yeah, cool. Okay, well, I did prepare a slide earlier for this, so here we go. A business, and this is Brad Sugar's test for whether you have a business. It's a commercial profitable enterprise that works without me. So the question is, in Brad Sugar's test is, could you leave for 6 months and still have an income generating operation when you returned? Which is pretty much what Trish said. Commercial profitable enterprise that works without me. So it's a business, it's working, and it's profitable. That means it makes more money than you would if you had a wage. So it makes a profit over and above your market salary, and that it has the right systems in place so that it can replace you and actually carry on without you. That's what a business is by definition. So there's a fantastic book that actually Graham mentioned several times at the boot camp, which most of you remember if you're there. It looks like this. It's called The E-Myth. We've given everyone a copy when you join the program. Absolutely critical you read this. This is the essential reading for how to systemize your business, and it'll give you, you know, the philosophy about why it's so important. So, and the E-Myth is all about how to systemize your business. So jump in there and read that book. It's epic. I've read it, I don't know how many times. Every time I read it, I get more juice out of it. So what Michael Gerber said is that there's three roles in a business. And the first role is what we call the technician. So the technician is the doer. That's the person who likes to do the work. In essence, it's the tradesman. So it's doing the plumbing or electrical work, or it's doing things like pricing. That's a technical role. Or doing the administration work. That's a technician's role. So they're the doer. And they work in the present, And what often happens with a plumbing or electrical business is most people go out into business, number one, because didn't seem to be much else to do. Number two is they got sick of their boss and they wanted to fire the boss. They wanted to be able to do things their way. So they had what we call an entrepreneurial seizure. They were a technician. They just wanted to go out and do it on their own. So the technician is good at getting the work done. The manager is the person who is the organizer and the person who systemizes things. And they like to control the technician to make sure that they're working in a set way. Technician hates the manager, hates being controlled. It's often why you fired your boss. Okay, Brett, good to have you on board, mate. And then you've got the entrepreneur. So they're the big picture visionary person, the business builder, the creator. Now, the challenge is that in a business, you need all three of those roles to be happening. Sorry, I'm late. It's Mel. G'day, Mel. Good to have you on board. So the trick in a plumbing and electrical business is we need all of these roles to be fulfilled. We need the entrepreneur who has the vision about where we're going and the big ideas. We need the manager to organize stuff, get the systems right so it's not a complete chaos. And we also need the technician to obviously go and do the work. Unfortunately, well, actually, let's hear from you guys. What percentage would you say most people in a plumbing or electrical business spend as a technician? Just put a percentage out of 100. What would you say it is? Just pop it in the chat box. What percentage? Yeah. Everyone's written 90%. That's like about 8 people straight away just put 90%. Okay, perfect. So you get the idea. And that's what I've written down on my notes here is, yeah, the technician is normally 80, 90%. And that's often why the business is not working, because you're only doing part of the business. So we have to make sure we do the management part, which is controlling, systemizing, and the entrepreneurial part, having a big picture and a vision, and the idea is to actually help this business grow. So you need all of those roles in the business. If you're going to create a business, because here's the key thing, until you realize that your business is not you, then it's not going to be a business. Now, the business needs to be, just turn the camera off, needs to be separate to you, completely separate. It's a different entity. It's like a person that you're growing who's separate from you. And that's critical, because until we think about that, we're not going to actually start working on it, because we sort of see it as an extension of ourselves. It's not. It's actually something different that we need to work on to build. Because the aim of business is not really to sell the product or service that we're selling. The aim of the business, the product of the business, is actually to create the business itself. Does that make sense, guys? Just give me a hands up if that makes sense. If we want to systemize our business properly, our aim needs to be to actually turn the business itself into the product or the thing that we're working on. It's quite a mindset shift. Awesome. So I've got a few hands up. Cool, guys. So the key thing is we want to actually make the business the product. Doesn't mean you shouldn't do a good job with the product or service you're doing. That's massive. And if you have the right systems, you will. So what we want to do, essentially, and this is what Michael Gerber talks about, we want to create what we call a franchise prototype. Now, I'm not suggesting we should go franchise our business. There's a whole lot of issues with that as well. Now, I used to own a franchise, had a Burger Fuel restaurant for 4 years, and learned a great deal out of it, but there's some pretty harsh lessons as well with franchising, and it's not always the ideal thing. But the concept is absolutely awesome. So if you've read the E-Myth or you've read anything about McDonald's, you know that that's like the poster boy of franchises, if you like. And obviously McDonald's got a few issues now, but the principle of systemizing your business still applies. So Ray Kroc, he said that he basically franchised McDonald's, and he was a milkshake salesman, used to sell milkshake machines. So he went into the McDonald's Brothers restaurant, and he saw this restaurant where they were making 8-odd types of hamburgers, very limited amount. He saw that they had school kids running it, and they saw that they just made the same burger every time. He was just blown away. He thought this was just incredible. So he got them to agree to franchising it, and the rest is history. And he realized really quickly, like I said, that the product that they were selling was actually the business. Okay, so they were selling the franchise. So our job is to turn our business, number to turn our business into an asset, to actually work on growing the business so that it's repeatable and systemized, so we can potentially sell it or keep it and step back from it. Because a good business to sell is also a great business to own. Because it's the system that has value. You know, can your business actually operate without you? The more it can operate without you, obviously the more valuable it is because someone else will potentially pay money for it, or you can actually buy your time back and go and do some other stuff, which is what it's all about. And if you want to get to the top level of the million-dollar tradie ladder, right, at that significance and scale level, system's obviously critical there. Okay, so it's the system that has the value. Next key principle is, hey, it's got to be written down. If it's not written down, it is not a system. If it's stuck in your head, it ain't a system. Now, all of us on the call today have systems in our business. Most of them, unfortunately, are stuck in our head. So the key is to get them on paper so that other people can follow them. It's that simple. And the systems don't have to be really complex, but they can be pretty simple to work and to work well. Because the way it works is this. Systems run your business, so they are what run the business. So for instance, here's a maintenance job checklist. That's how you do a maintenance job. Then people run the systems. So we get the people, our team, to implement the system. And lastly, our job is to lead our team. Okay? So to provide the systems for them, to employ the right people, to give them the right environment, to hold them accountable to filling in the system and to check the KPIs that it's on track and to change the system if it's not working. So that's our role. And if you're still working on the tools, some of you, okay, that doesn't mean you shouldn't be leading your team or the rest of your team in terms of running systems. Okay, you might have a couple of roles there. Now the fourth principle is, hey, like most things in life, you can choose to work hard once or you can choose to work hard forever. It's really a choice that you make. Now, does putting the right systems into your business, writing stuff down, getting the right technology take some time and effort? Of course, for sure. Is it worth it? What do you think? I mean, hell yeah, totally. So you can choose to work hard now, or you can choose to put up with some of the challenges and the issues that we talked about earlier, some of the problems, forever. Either way is hard work. One of them is going to get you to where you want to go, and one of them is probably not. So it's pretty simple, really. So managing your time and prioritizing your activities is a key part of success here. And this is where things like your default diary come in, getting the right help in your business, or just sacrificing a few days. Like Doug Brennan from Southern Plumbing, who was a guest speaker at a previous event, said after reading the E-Myth, he took 4 days off and just wrote down all the systems he could think of. 4 days off to buy back pretty much the rest of your business life. And guys, if you just worked on one system a week for 52 weeks, you would have a very, very well systemized plumbing or electrical business. So it's a question of priorities. And it feels great when you know you're doing stuff like systemizing your business that's going to make a difference. It's massive. Puts you in a completely different mind frame. Fifth thing is automation beats motivation. Automation beats motivation. So if we're systemizing your operation today, then we need to think about what technology we can use to make it simple. There's some fantastic tools out there that just can literally save you hours and hours of time and piles of paper and confusion. Now, I know for some it's quite threatening. It's like, hey, I'm not really used to that, but to get the results you want from your business, hey, we've got to get ourselves into the 21st century using the technology that's there. And most of it's pretty simple to use once you've got your head around it. So, are you using the cloud? So the cloud is where stuff is stored in the internet. And the great thing about the cloud is people can access it from everywhere. So if you've got Xero, your accountant can access it. You can access it from home. You can access it from your truck or your ute. Brilliant. Same with your payroll systems. you can have all your systems and processes stored in the cloud so your team can access them from on site or at home or wherever. You don't have to have operations manuals that are printed out that you need to update all the time in five different places, because they can be in one place on the cloud that everyone can access them. So yeah, use technology, let's go as paperless as we can. Using the cloud, look, really simple things like emails. Are you sharing emails between everyone in your office so people can see your calendar and they can check your email? Simple, but saves you a lot of time. Are you using file sharing? If you don't have a server, you can share files between computers with Dropbox or Google Drive. It's a bunch of file sharing options to save you a bucket load of time and hassle. Just have one version of all your documents. Obviously, accounting software, Xero, it's a bunch of other ones there. Online procedures. So keep all your systems online, even in a file sharing setup like Dropbox or Google Drive, so that they're in one place and everyone knows where they are. Job management software, so we're not going to go into this today, it's not really the role, but hey, if we're looking to systemize your business, we should really be looking to get the right software. So Simpro, Fergus, a couple of good examples, there's several others out there, which can save you obviously a bucket load of time and a lot of paper. Build your invoices from the job as you go, hugely helpful in terms of saving your time. Okay, Brendan, good to have you on board, mate. Jeff, good to have you on board as well, Chief. Okay. Vehicle tracking, so it keeps everyone accountable, means that you have no arguments about invoicing, etc. Simple system. Customer relationship system, so keeping a database of all your clients so you can email them, stay in touch with them. Really simple, inexpensive systems out there we can use to do that. And as I said many times, if you're not keeping a custom database and you're using email marketing, you're missing a massive opportunity. Okay, guys, so those are sort of some of the theory before we jump into the how-to. So, yeah, I'd really like to hear from you. What's been most valuable so far? What have been the, like, oh, yeah, that's really interesting, or, yep, I can see how that works, or, hey, that's really changed my perspective on how I look at my business. Just put it in the chat box so we can share that around. That'd be awesome, guys. I'll have a drink while we do that. Work hard once, that was awesome. Yep. If it's in your head, it's not a system. Yep, if it's in your head, it's not a system. Work hard once or work hard forever needs to become our mantra. It's massive. It's a big mindset shift. And it's all about prioritizing your time. So are you investing 2 hours a week in your default diary to systemize your operation? And I'm going to show you some strategies soon that means you probably need less than that, actually. Turn your business into a product. Leanne, cool. Yep. We want to work on our business as though that's something we are intending to sell. Whether you choose to sell it or not doesn't really matter, but a good business to own is a good one to sell. Get it right and reap the rewards. Great. Awesome, mate. Okay. Cool, guys. So let's jump in and talk about how to actually systemize your business. So it's a big, big topic, and we can't solve all the systemizing issues in one go today, but I'm going to give you a process for which you can follow to start systemizing your business. Now, be straight up, guys. Everyone's business is different. Everyone does things slightly differently. So you are going to need to version the systems to work in your operation. And that's important because it's going to take account of the different angles that you have, the different clients you have, the different service offerings you have as well, and just your individual personality as well, what you like to do. But this is a system to help you get it done. So let's jump in. The how. First thing is, we need to just stop the camera there. First thing is, hey, let's identify all the systems in your business. So that's the first step. It's just to figure out what systems we actually need. Because there's so many systems that we can look into. And as I've said earlier, a business is made up of all sorts of systems, a pricing system, an invoicing system, a quote system, marketing system, a hiring system, performance appraisal system. There's systems everywhere. So what we can do is what we call do an A to Z of operations and just map out with a flowchart. Don't have to use fancy flowcharting software. You can do it with a pen and paper on a whiteboard. What are the key parts of the business that are made up? So it starts with your marketing 10 by 10. You get leads into your business. Is it a small job or a large job? Obviously, it's going to be a different process. If it's a small job, typically it's just scheduling it in and getting it done. If it's a large job, then you're going to go through your whole quote tendering process, getting contracts signed, deposits paid, etc. Then you have the logistics of getting the job done. You've got a scheduling process. Have you got a significant, I should say, sufficient tradesmen? Slight spelling mistake there. If you don't, you need a hiring process. Then is it a large or small job? You've got some logistics to prepare. If it's small, you just carry on and do the job, etc. Right through to variations, invoicing, managing receivables, following up, and client care. So that's just mapping out the business from its A to Z of operations. You go to work, just so you can see how it looks. And there's a checklist in the membership site. That A to Z of operations is in there, but also a checklist for systems that you might need. So you can go through that and actually select the ones that you think are most, you know, most important. There might be some other ones you need to include as well, but it's a pretty good list. You can see there, operations, you've got material ordering, materials return, checking jobs ready, quality assurance checklist. So that's the starting point. What systems do we actually need? Then we just document each step, so break it down into bits. Okay, so we just break those major systems down into their bits and work through and document each step of the process. And we do it in as much detail as we can, obviously to make it as clear as possible so other people can follow it. And what we do is we document the process with, you can either use a checklist, you can use a template. So a template might be for an email. This is how emails look. It might be for sending your quotes out. Here's a template for how we make them look. It could be a script. So if you're for an email or a phone call, this is how we want it to be done. This is how we want the phone to be answered. Hi, it's Tony from XYZ Electrical. Welcome to XYZ Electrical. You're speaking with Tony. Just so I can help you the best, can I ask you a few quick questions? It's scripted, done the same way each time. And videos. So videos are hugely powerful, both for training tradesmen. So much easier to take a video of how to do a job than actually write the whole process down, because it's incredibly time consuming. But also you can do videos for training how to use the computer, which saves you a bucket load of time. I'll talk about a great strategy to do that in a few minutes. Okay, so the next thing is to, you know, how much do you systemize? How far do you actually go? Because if you systemize absolutely everything, well, that's kind of tricky and it's going to take a bucket load of time. And to be frank, you can't systemize everything. So the trick is to systemize the routine stuff and you humanize the exceptions. So some things I wouldn't bother systemizing because it just takes too long. What should you systemize? Well, it's stuff that's typically routine. So if you find yourself doing it more than two or three times, then most probably you can systemize it. And it's typically stuff that's easy to be delegated to someone else, so you can systemize it, give them a process to follow. So I just want to punch through an example now of putting that process in place. We're going to talk about the sales process. Okay, so one of the tasks, I guess, in the A to Z of operations, which we looked at a little bit earlier on. I'll just go back to that. Here we go. So the A to Z of operations. Here we go. It's a bit slow. You know, sales process there, large job sales process. That was a box. So what we're going to do is bust that box out into some smaller boxes. That's the whole process from that box. So we've got our marketing 10 by 10, we get inquiries coming in, we've got our phone scripts, inquiry sheets, test and measure sheets, frequently asked questions, our qualifying process, which is part of the phone script. Is it a small or a large job? If it's a small job, we book the job. If it's a large job, we book a site visit. Then we send a questionnaire and a company profile, some information beforehand. We can do our plumber or electrician on deck call. There's a script for that. There's a site visit, so there's a script for that. We We prepare the quote. There's a template for that. We deliver the quote. We have a follow-up process. If they accept it, there's another follow-up. If they say no, there's another follow-up process. Then we head off to the scheduled job, contract, terms of trade, etc. So we've broken it all down into its bits, and then we can just get a script or a template for each one of those processes or each one of those steps. So what I'm going to do is just go through some of the steps and show you the next step. I also, instead of flowcharting it, actually what some people find really helpful is just to put a table together. So this is another way of putting the whole process together. And the boxes on the diagram in the previous slide are just put into this table here. So that's a really simple way of getting the whole process written down and who's responsible as well. Okay, so just go back to the script. So one of the key parts in that sales process was the inquiry. Well, we've scripted that. Here's how you do the inquiry process. Here's the script. Follow the script. Pretty simple. We know it's been done the same way each time. We're getting the right information. We're going to qualify the client properly, book them out at the right time, find out how they heard about us, all that information. So we don't have to carry that in our head anymore. There's a follow-up script. Okay. So this is what we want people to say when they follow up the quote. And it's scripted here. It says, call the decision maker the day after delivering the quote. This way, at least you can be sure they look at the quote, tender, have you in mind. Here's what you can say. Hi, is that John? Great, it's Tony speaking. Look, just calling to confirm you received our quote. Yes, have you had a chance to read it? Great, do you have any questions? Great. Hey, we're pretty busy at the moment. We have some space early next week that we could fit your job in. Would you like us to book you in? That line there is very powerful for closing them. If yes, book the job. If no, hey, is there anything else you need to know from me? Give you a call in a few days to see how things are going. So there's a script. You've taken the best information, scripted it. Someone else can do that. You don't have to do that anymore. The person in the office should be able to do that. There's a sales meeting script. So here's a process that you can use when you actually go on site to talk to people. Script it out so that you make sure you cover up the key details, don't forget anything, and you come across really professional. There's a whole webinar on this stuff, guys, on the sales process, so don't stress about that. You can go and watch that. We've had a whole training day on it as well. You can jump in and actually look at how to do the sales process. I'm just using this as an example of process. There's templates. So you have a quote presentation template. Rather than just sending them a price, turn it into a sales letter. Here's a template to do that. So each time you can just change the numbers and change the addresses and the dates, and the template's there to use. So that's how you break the process down into its bits and then fill in the details for each bit. Just give us a hands up, guys, if you can see how that all works. Awesome. Okay, cool. And you can use that for any area of the business. I've just used the sales process as an example. So the first step is write the process out. The second step is break this down into its bits. The third step is to get key performance indicators to measure the process. So, yeah, getting processes in place are super helpful, and they're going to free up your time and help you work on the business, have some more free time, and hopefully make some more money. But there is a responsibility that comes with that as well, and this is where sometimes it can fall down. Don't just say, hey, cool, I've done my job, I can leave them to it now. You actually have to hold them accountable. And the key to that is the key performance indicators to measure how well the process is working and how well the systems are being implemented. So if you don't measure, you don't keep them accountable, the whole thing will fall to bits. So quantifying the results as much as possible is massive. So for instance, with the sales process, what are the key performance indicators? Well, the conversion rate would be one. Now if our conversion rate drops to 20%, obviously the process is not working properly. Percentage of quotes completed in under 7 days. Okay, if the process is not working well, if we're doing quotes for Muppets all the time, obviously that's going to blow out. Are we getting a gross profit margin per job? Are we actually selling our jobs to the target margins we want? If the process is good and professional, it's going to help hugely. If the process is not very professional, obviously it's not going to help. Is the client satisfied? So we measure satisfaction. And how much time are we spending per quote? So if we're winning a lot of quotes, obviously the time spent, I should say per win actually, that's what it means, obviously it's going to come down. So that's how we can measure those key performance indicators. And in the membership site, there's a key performance indicator selector. Now, this applies to all areas of the business. There's a bunch of KPIs that we can put against any process. So for instance, your quality assurance checklist, one of the key performance indicators there for people implementing that would be the percentage of rework. So if the rework percentage goes up, obviously they're not implementing the system properly. So we go back and look at that. And that'll give us a heads up on what's working and what's not working. So measuring the health of the systems through key performance indicators, huge. That's going to give you the peace of mind that it's working properly, and that's our responsibility once we've systemized the business. Just like McDonald's, we'll have a mystery customer come in to make sure that things are actually operating as they should be. Fourth is, okay, once you've written the system, then you've got to test it. So you test it on the team. Obviously, get them to go through it. Can they follow it? So write the system, get some key performance indicators, and then actually get the team to go through it. Can they follow it? If they can follow it well and it makes sense to them, obviously the system is good. If there's some areas where it's not clear to them, then we just need to refine it. And you know, systems constantly need refining, so they're never perfect. You're always tweaking them and adding stuff or changing stuff. So that's part of leading your team. That's part of the role of working on your business. So it's a never-ending process. And number five, this is hugely important. Not all systems are created equal. So who's heard of the 80-20 rule, actually? Just give us a hands up if you've heard of the 80-20 rule. Okay, so it's probably a few of you. A few hands up. Well, for those of you who haven't heard of it, the 80-20 rule is amazing, actually. What it says is that measuring any particular area of business or life, this rule of 80-20 applies. What it means is that... for instance, 80% of your profit will come from 20% of your clients. Or put it the other way around, 80% of the problems you have with clients will come from 20% of the clients. Another way of looking at it is 20% of your staff will cause you 80% of the problems you have. It applies to a book I read about, the 80-20 rule, the wealthiest people in the world. If you get the top 10 wealthiest people in the world, the top two will own 80% of the wealth, pretty much. So it applies across all areas. How does this actually apply to systemizing our business then? Well, pretty simple. If we concentrate on the top 20% of systems that are most important, we'll solve 80% of the challenges with our business. We'll get 80% of the value from systemizing our business. So that's really, really important. Why do you think, just put it in the chat box, guys, just let me know your thoughts. Why do you think it is important to understand the 80-20 rule when we systemize our business? Why is that helpful? Just pop your answers in the chat box, guys. So why is the 80-20 rule important here? It helps. Perfect. Know where to start because it can feel overwhelming with so many systems. Exactly, Annie. Perfect. Helps us prioritize. It's a reflection of life. Totally agree. So a bunch of other you guys said prioritizing. Perfect. So it's about prioritizing because you can't necessarily do everything. Certainly not straight away. So what we want to do is what I call a stoplight method. We want to work on what are the top 20%. I've never heard of it, but it makes a lot of sense prioritizing. Yep, awesome, Mel. Thank you. So we want to concentrate on the systems that give us the most jip, basically, cause us the most pain. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to bust through some systems and checklists that I think are areas that are super painful, that if you get these right and implement these, they're going to make a huge difference, hopefully make that 80% difference for your plumbing or electrical business. So here we go. First one is pre-job checklists. So who gets frustrated with, well, typically builders are the ones who are frustrating here. When you turn up to do a job and it's not ready, or part of it's ready, they told you it was ready, but actually it's not all ready, which means you've got to, you know, have more trips to the work site than you planned, which obviously costs you money, stuffs up your schedules, etc. So that's, you know, obviously a pretty universal challenge. So pre-job checklist is a really important system to have in place. And the better the questions you ask of your builder or your contractor, the more likely you are to make sure that it's ready. Or it could be for a homeowner if you're doing a bathroom. So here's a script that you can use. Hi, John, Tony from XYZ Plumbing or Electrical here, how's it going? Just calling about the job at 1 Smith Street. We've got a project. We've got the fit-off scheduled for Friday at 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock. Just wanted to check and make sure everything's good at your end. Can I run through our pre-job checklist with you? You run through the checklist, and here's the checklist. Have the kitchen and laundry been installed 100%? Have the holes been drilled in the stone bench tops? Have the vanities been installed? Are all the showers installed? Has all the tiling and or vinyl laying been complete 100%? Has the painting been completed? Has the electrical work been completed for gas fitting and commissioning, if applicable? What date is the carpet installation booked for? So if you ask specific questions, you're going to get specific answers. Because often the builder thinks it's ready, but actually one or two of those things are not ready. Okay. Does that all make sense, guys? And obviously it'll vary a little bit for electrical business, and there's some examples of that as well. Just give us a hands up if that makes sense, getting your pre-job checklist sorted. Okay, cool. Next one is the quality assurance checklist. So that's at the end of the job, or as you go through the job. So here's an example, potentially for an electrical business. It's a pre-wire checklist. So this is the process you want to follow through. There's a fit-off checklist there as well, just to make sure that it's out of your head on paper, that the guys can follow it and know what needs to be done. Same with for plumbing. It's a pre-line checklist, underfloor checklist. These are all in the membership site, so I don't stress about getting this all copied down. It's all in there. But these are some, obviously, checklists and systems that are going to help, you know, at that 20% level. A maintenance job checklist. So if you're doing maintenance jobs, here's a checklist to make sure that the guys do a professional job, do it the right way each time. Starting from, hey, introduce yourself, show the client your ID. I check with them that the parking's okay. Obviously, nothing worse than parking people in, which often happens in the morning. Dust covers on your shoes when entering the house. Confirm what you're here to do. Do the job. Complete the plumbing inspection checklist. And that's on the right-hand side of the page there. So that's your upselling checklist that goes with the job. Check that the appliances have been commissioned and working correctly. Clean up the area. Complete the job details. Complete the invoice. Get payment. Inform the office if you need to return to site. Book in a return date for the next maintenance job. Inform the office if you're running late so they can advise the next clients. So that's a checklist. Pricing, huge area of importance. So have you got some pricing templates? So pricing is something that you, if you do it once, you might as well create a template so you can repeat it next time. So here's a drainage pricing calculator with all the cost per unit. You just need to go through and put the actual units required to build your price. And you can tweak the margins, and there's your price. Makes a job that was taking this particular client hours, turns it into 10, 15 minutes max. A lot of you are using job management software, so getting those templates into your job management systems as well. If you're not, you can use, obviously, Excel spreadsheet to do that too. So pricing one is huge. And then there's your office processes as well, so you can write those down step by step. Like this payroll processing checklist as an example, and an administration manual. So obviously running the office is a huge part of success. Now we've put a copy of our admin manual for profitable trading in the membership site. You're welcome to have a look at that. And it has everything in it from important login details, so your office person knows where the contact details are, through to how to do an invoice, through to how to answer the phone, put it all in one place so they know how to follow it. So that's super helpful, your admin manual. Because one's a really bad number in business. If your one office person goes lame or gets hit by a bus, you know, can you actually make sure that the GST gets done and the wages get paid? And if it's in a manual, well, then it can. Okay. So before we jump into how to do this stuff quickly, is there any questions about that how to systemize process? Does anyone have any questions or comments that they'd like to share? Awesome. Okay. So now we've talked about why you need to systemize. Oh, Trish said hiring process works a treat. Perfect. Yep, so that's one area we haven't covered off. We talked about that in Wellington. It's on the membership site as well. If you want a process for hiring, it's there. Just use it. So now we're going to talk about system hacks. So what system hacks are is basically, okay, we're time poor. And we want to prioritize systems as a high priority because that's going to help us change our business and build a business as a product, one that we can potentially sell or not have to work in all the time. What are some quick ways to get this done? Well, the first quick way was the 80-20 rule. Let's focus on the things that really count. And they're typically things around pricing, managing the job, get those systems, and increasing productivity. Here's some other hacks. When you go to systemize your business, if you have a template or an example to follow, it's going to make a massive difference. Okay, so make sure you grab the templates and examples from the membership site. They will make it so much quicker and so much easier, because if you're thinking about how to formatting it, stuffing around with all that sort of stuff, it'll do your head in. Just grab an example for any of those systems in there, and you can version the example, just put your information in it. So that's the first thing, get a template. Next thing is get help. So there's no reason that you have to do all the systemizing in your business. Get some leverage. Get your office person to help you. Get another office person to help. Get your team to help. That's huge, because there's no reason that you have to do it all. Hell yes. Yes, Caden. Hell yes. Use Jing. Now, guys, put your hands up if you're using Jing, or if you've used Jing. Okay, I've got not many hands up, guys. This is just, like, ridiculously awesome. I'm sure I've told everyone about this. If I haven't, this can literally change your life. Now, Jing is a free tool that you can download from the internet. Just let me make that clean. You can see the URL down the bottom there. You download it for free, and what it allows you to do is record your computer screen. So you can create training videos in real time for nothing, for free. It allows you to record your voice at the same time. So if you need to create an admin manual and you need to show someone how to create an invoice in Xero or how to load a job into Fergus or Simpro, you just record it when you do it, tell them what you're doing as you go along, and when you're finished, there's your training video. Stored forever, they can watch it, and bang, they know how to do the task. Now you can put your admin manual together in a matter of hours. It's absolutely epic. And it can all be stored in the cloud, so anyone can access it. Yeah, Mel, it's just awesome. Like, it's unbelievably cool. So if you're not using it, you need to. So for all that stuff in the office, use Jing. Just Jing it. We've got an admin menu full of Jings. It's going to save you so much time. So download it for free. Record your voice as you're going through the stuff. You can tell the people the tricks and tips as you go through. Your other option is to basically do screen captures, and it's going to take you hours of click here, do this, enter that. Much easier to do a video. So use Jing. The next hack is to, well, record the system using your voice and then get it transcribed. So I'll just get my phone. So you might have a phone, like this. You may have an Apple or an inferior Android. I'm sure they have a voice recording capability on there. So just use that to record the system. Just speak into it, say, hey, this is our quality assurance checklist for our pre-wire, and just say what it is. Step one, do this. Step two, do that. Step three, step four, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It'll probably take you about 3 or 4 minutes to do that. Then get someone else to transcribe it. Give them the template that we've got. Get them to present it like that, and you'll have 80-90% of your system done in next to no time. Does that make sense, guys? Give me a hands up if that makes sense. Cool. Yeah, so make use of your time. Record and transcribe. You can get pretty much anyone to transcribe. Slave labor. You can outsource it. We use an outsourcing company to transcribe all our videos for next to nothing. If you want some help for people to be pointed in the right direction for transcribers, just hit Nick or Damon up here and they'll let you know. Use your team to write processes. Hey, the guys, use them. Get them to do it. They're doing a lot of the stuff, so get them to write the process. That's going to get them involved as well. And it doesn't necessarily take a lot of time. Just give them an example. Give them the template. Use slave labor. Get a student. I'd love to have a chance to get involved in real business to help you write some of your systems. They know how to use the technology. View, record it, give it to them. Massive. Save you so much time. Photos, screenshots, and videos obviously help hugely. So you can take screenshots, photos, or videos. If you're creating training manuals, etc., for how to do jobs on site, with videos, I think are the best. If you're going to write it out step by step, it's very, very time consuming, and I wouldn't advise that. I'd get a video and actually video yourself or someone else doing it, and then you can. And you don't need to do all the jobs. Just do the jobs that, you know, the 80-20 rule. This is how we wire a switchboard. Okay, it's a video. And this is how we install a Ream Infinity system. Use a video. Okay, doesn't actually have to take a lot of time, and this real easy recording devices around today doesn't have to cost a lot of money either. Use templates. So for emails, if you're sending the same email more than 3 or 4 times, save it as a template, and then just change the names. There's some flowcharting software you can use out there as well. I mean, I wouldn't go too nuts on this. You can use a whiteboard, but if you like doing that sort of stuff and you want to flowchart them out, there's a bunch of software out there that you can use, and there's some examples on the right-hand side. So if you get this right, it's epic. Just over the last couple of months, Neil from Pratt's has put together over 80 pricing templates. So every time they do a price, they template it and then save it as the name of the job. It's freed up 8 to 10 hours a week already, and that's allowed Neil to start delegating those pricing activities, which is massive. He's got lots of energy. He's working on growing the business, which is what he's good at, because just continually doing prices was absolutely doing his head in, and you can do exactly the same. Okay, so next steps from here, team. Before we jump into that, guys, are there any questions? Awesome. Okay. Well, if you've got any questions, just have a think and we can answer them at the end as well. So the next steps are, number one, hey, let's list out your A to Z of operations. Just map your business out on a piece of paper so we can see how it looks. And there's the example on the membership site which you can use. Next is, let's document the red light system. So let's use the 80-20 rule, figure out the systems that are giving us the most problems right now, and let's start working on those ones. Let's create a list of them. Put them into a 90-day plan and just start working through them. Use the templates. Grab the examples. Okay. Or if there's not an example you think is helpful, let us know here. We'll help you build the example. We don't know everything about the on-the-job stuff, so we're really happy to help you build an example, because we can obviously make it look good, get it nicely templated for you as well. So I'd love to help with that as well. build your operations manual and your admin manual as you go. Just do it piece by piece. Okay, it can seem overwhelming at the start, but if you follow the 80-20 rule and just build it up from the ground, before long, if you commit a couple of hours a week, over the course of the year, you're going to have most of it sorted out, and you'll buy back your life and buy back your time. Flick it through the team. So when you're working on your systems, if you want to get some feedback, flick them through to us. I'd love to have a look at them. Any of us can help with that. Okay. All right, guys. So that's pretty action-packed, full-on session today. So look, if you've got any thoughts or questions or comments, please put them in the chat box. If you don't have a question, what I would like you to put in the chat box right now is what was the number one learning from today, or the number one thing that you found most valuable. So I want a number one learning or number one most valuable thing from everyone on the call. If you can put that in the chat box, that'd be cool. And if you've got any questions, chuck them in the chat box as well. Okay. Jenny. Thanks, Tony. No worries, Jenny. My pleasure. So what was most helpful for you? Jing and voice recording, Trish. Number one, just get started. Yep. Any priorities, not just for systems, but for using my time to create the system in the first place. Cool. Work hard once. Work hard forever. Cool. Gray, how to start. Breaking the steps of where to start and where to go. Sometimes it can be very overwhelming. Leanne, yep. Use the 80-20 rule. Luke and Ellie, concentrate on the systems that cause the most pain first. Yes, Brendan, have to get systems in place, a must. Awesome, Brendan. Huge, man. Mel, I've been avoiding writing down procedures for my job due to time, but Jing is going to make this simple. Massive, massive time saver. Okay. So what else, guys? Want to hear your number one learning or number one most valuable thing from the call today? I know me and Jing are going to be new best friends. Phil, Leonie, apply the 80-20 rule. Use Jing. Awesome. Great. Templates. Yep. Templates are massive. Now, guys, as an example, when I first started doing webinars, I had to make up the structure every time I did it. Then I got a template for how the webinar looks, so it has the same sections each time. It's cut the time putting a system, a webinar together. Reduced it about 20% of the time if you've got a structure. Systems templates. Awesome, Brendan. Cool.